My name is Bianca Barrel.
And I'm Bianca's dad.
And we live in South Florida.
I'm Jason, a student from Seattle, Washington.
I'm your host, CJ Spear, and our first topic today is Planet Money, the Indicator.
More than I want a medical degree, I want to hear the air horn on Jobs Friday when I hopefully change jobs categories to doctor 4 years from now.
So one of the previous episodes of The Indicator was the economics of apologies. So we were thinking, instead of Stacey and Carlith doing the episode on economics of appreciation, the fans of The Indicator from Planet Money could do an episode for them. Well, not an episode, right? But like appreciate them. So
we could send some money.
Yeah. So it would be called like The Economics of Appreciation.
Donate to your local member station at donate.npr.org/indicator. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
. 2018 was a huge year for women in the workplace. Hundreds of women came forward to report harassment, and hundreds of men in prominent positions subsequently lost their jobs, including here at NPR, where our senior vice president for news was fired for sexual harassment. It was all part of what is now known as the Me Too movement. And as a result, workplace cultures everywhere started to shift as women felt more empowered to come forward and report their experiences. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm Constanza Gallardo.
And Constanza, you are a producer here at The Indicator.
Yes. Hello, Stacey.
And you are joining me today because all this week we are doing some of our favorite indicators of the year, numbers that represent a major shift in the economy or in the culture.
And today on the show, Me Too. We hear from women whether they feel like they could report sexual harassment now.
And we look at the economic conditions that have underpinned the movement.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from Yahoo Finance Live. Hours of free live streaming news without cable or a subscription. Tune in for the news you need about your money, accessible wherever you go. Support also comes from Paribus from Capital One. Paribus searches for savings on things you've already bought online. If it discovers a retail price drop, you can get 100% of the difference refunded to you. Sign up for Paribus at getparibus.com.
Today's indicator is 3.7%. That's the unemployment rate right now, the lowest it's been since the late 60s.
And this might sound like kind of a strange indicator for the Me Too movement, but we will explain.
Yes, we will. But all you need to know right now is that 3.7% is a really strong job market.
Or, as economists like to call it, a tight labor market.
One of the key things that happens when the labor market is tight, shifts bargaining power to workers.
Heidi Shierholz is the director of policy at the Economic Policy Institute. She says when the job market is this strong, companies often start having a little bit of trouble filling jobs, and so they start having to compete for workers.
If your employer knows that you have outside options, that you could go to a company across the street or around the block and get another job, then that your employer has to pay you decent wages to keep you and to get the workers that they need.
So wages go up, and other things happen too. Groups of workers that didn't have that much power when the economy wasn't so good, when they couldn't find jobs, they suddenly have power.
The strong labor market disproportionately conveys power to workers who, in other times, don't have a lot of bargaining power.
And this brings us to the Me Too movement. This year, more than 900 women came forward with reports of harassment in the workplace. And more than 200 prominent men lost their jobs. Heidi says she thinks part of the reason women started to come forward now, and part of the reason that the movement gained the momentum it did, is because of the strong job market.
Women know that if they're going to take the risk to take on the powers that be in their workplace, if that goes south, if things become unworkable at their job, if they are illegally fired for taking action in a labor market that is as tight as the one that we have right now, they're likely to be able to find other work.
When companies have to compete for workers, workers have the power to come forward and demand more money, a safer workplace, better working conditions. And because companies need to make workers happy in order to keep them, those companies are more likely to listen.
This doesn't mean any of this is easy. Even when you know you can probably get another job somewhere else, taking on a boss or a powerful coworker or even a company can be incredibly hard.
Yes, and Constanza, we were actually talking about this the other day, that there are really all kinds of reasons why reporting harassment is hard. It is really not just the fear of losing your job.
So we put out a call.
Yes,
and
we did.
We asked our listeners to tell us about their experiences and share if they felt comfortable about reporting a Me Too incident at work.
A lot of people wrote in.
Yeah, and most people said that even now, when the climate seems pretty open to this whole movement, they still didn't feel safe.
I just wanted to say that I have never felt safe reporting problems in the workplace.
So here are a few of the listeners that we talked to, and we're not including their names just because of how sensitive this issue is.
I work for a small company of less than 20 employees, and our owner is in the office every day. In fact, he's the one causing the problems. But our HR is managed by a different company across the country, and the most they can do is scold him over the phone. They can't make him stop, so most of us just don't bother reporting anything. We try to back each other up because there's really nothing else we can do.
I work in the tech industry, have for over 5 years. I've never had a hashtag MeToo incident. But if I did, I don't think I would if it was something minor. If something major, sure, let's go at it. But for some small incident, because companies are very paranoid about being tough on this type of crime, I would not feel comfortable reporting that because I don't think my coworker would be treated fairly.
The short answer is no, I don't. I previously worked actually for a state legislature. It was my first job out of college, so I didn't know any better. I was continually referred to as the staffer with the big boobs, the representatives that were men would obviously do up-down looks. I was asked by my boss to show him, you know, what I was wearing in certain situations. It was kind of common knowledge between the women that if you reported something, it would be brushed under the rug, because at the end of the day, the elected officials' welfare is above all.
So we also heard from people that did report an incident. In some of those cases, the Me Too movement did help them.
Six of us reported together about our manager, and there were other people throughout the organization who reported as well. And it was pretty frustrating how hard we had to push. We were definitely worried about losing our jobs through the process. And what finally happened for there to be consequences for this man is all the Harvey Weinstein stuff came out. So at the same time that we were reporting and meeting with HR regularly, then all of the Harvey Weinstein stories broke, and it took a whole national movement to finally have consequences, even though the behavior was egregious and well known. I don't think it should be this hard.
We had a lot of other listeners write in to say that they had reported a Me Too incident and that as of now, nothing had been done.
And we just want to say thank you to all our listeners that sent us an email, opened up, and helped us cover this issue.
And understand it.
Yes, and understand it.
And also, this is an issue that we want to continue covering. So we would love to hear from you about your experiences with Me Too, whatever they are.
Yeah, so send us an email to indicator@npr.org or Twitter @TheIndicator.
The Indicator is produced by you, Constanza
yes,
Gallardo.
Me, and it's also edited by Patty Hirsch and produced by NPR.
Do you love trivia, puzzles, nerdy games, and humor? What about interviews with actors, musicians, and people from all walks of life? Yeah? Then join me, Ophira Eisenberg, host of NPR's Ask Me Another, every week on the NPR One app and wherever you listen to podcasts.